Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's up?
Hi, groomers. Hi, Barbara. Welcome to episode 153 of the Groom Pod, recorded on February 11th, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This episode of the Groom Pod is sponsored by Stazco Products, featuring the famous Stazco Conditioning Spray. Find them online and at your favorite distributors. This week on the Groom Pod, what's the best tax structure? Sole proprietor, partnership, LLC? This week on the Groom Pod, we'll learn about LLCs and sole proprietorships. We'll learn about balneotherapy and unique techniques. If you'd like to ask your questions, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, and on Google Play, or anywhere else. You can find all things Groom Pod related, including our Amazon banner donation button and the Patreon button, at www.thegroompod.com. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.bbird.biz. Shop with a groomer, it's good karma. All right, Barbara, tell me about your week.
Oh, I had an interesting and kind of humorous thing happen. Well, you're going to love it. Are you ready? Milton is back.
No way.
Milton is back. And so let's fill people in. Milton is the incorrigible, impossible to groom miniature schnauzer puppy that Yvonne and I groomed about 3 or 4 times. And then, and we were able to do what no other groomer could. And, but it's, he's the most, one of the most challenging dogs I've ever handled. The daughter who used to schedule the grooming and bring Milton in, moved to go away to college or something like that. And the son who owns the dog just dropped the ball on the grooming.
And they somewhere along the line before.
Yeah, we had Milton on a 3-week schedule because I was trying to, you know, get him used to the deal.
Yeah, get past it.
Plus, I was trying to get him so we could get him unmatted so that it would be easier for him. Well, they called and canceled the appointment through the daughter long distance and then said that the whole family had the flu and so long, you know. Well, I never heard back from them. So I figured that they had either not groomed the dog or gone elsewhere or something. So then out of the blue, the son calls me and requests an appointment. And I gave a late afternoon appointment, and in comes Milton, peeing on my stuff in the front like he always says. He's just a freaking marker.
Well, he's got his balls, right?
He's got his balls, you know. And he went to the vet and had teeth removed, but not his balls. Yeah, you know, it's a young man thing, you know.
Yep.
So anyway, it appears that they took him to another groomer in Gilbert, Arizona, where I think the parents live, or somebody in the family lives there. They took him to another groomer, and in less than 5 minutes, he got a call.
Oh my gosh, five minutes.
Yeah, they said it was, he said he was hardly out of the parking lot, and they called and said they couldn't groom him. Well, you know, the other thing about Milton is he's a screamer. So, you know, like they probably didn't set it up right with the groomer. They probably didn't confess that he was a terribly difficult dog. And so the groomer probably either started to try to clip his face or picked up his feet or one of his no-nos, you know, and he probably just went off.
Right.
So I certainly don't blame the groomer for not being able to groom him. This is a dog, on many occasions, I would have refused service, but we just sort of decided to take it on. So then that wasn't the end of it. So then the father decides that he could groom Milton.
Oh, I love this story. This is funny. I'm loving this.
And then, so Milton comes in with this kind of 10-blade strip down from his withers to his tail, but nothing else, you know, like it was, and it was a fairly wide strip, but it wasn't, it didn't go anywhere. It didn't have a pattern. It wasn't up by the neck, you know, like, and the son says, now we all know for sure what you're up against.
Oh, that's nice. I love it when that happens.
So then they, after the father couldn't groom him or the whole family together couldn't groom him, they took him to the vet and asked for some tranquilizers, which I had suggested they just get a sedative to kind of take the edge off of Milton.
Perfect.
And so we groomed him.
A little bit on drugs.
A little bit on drugs. And he still was a major handful. You know, like on a difficulty scale of 1 to 10, this dog is a 15.
Right.
And that's what I told the owner. I like to be really clear.
Yes. You know,
it's not that he's somewhat difficult. He's not that he's a little naughty. It's like on a scale of 1 to 10, this dog is a 15 in difficulty. And he still was a 15, but he didn't scream. And we did get the whole job done. And Yvonne was able to brush out the back legs. So the back legs were just really nice. I trimmed them down. I got rid of hair. The front legs were matted. And they had bands where the vet had done the IVs. Apparently, they did one leg and couldn't hit the vein. Probably because he was all over the place. So then they did the other. I mean, I'm sure that after the vets did that, they had no problem prescribing the tranquilizers.
You know? Absolutely.
Everybody, but now everybody's on the same page.
Yes, you know, 3-week appointment.
And we're back on a 3-week schedule. And, you know, and it's $75 plus a tip, which is, you know, really pretty decent. And, you know, we've come to kind of sort of love Milton.
And,
you know,
with a little edge off, I have seen these dogs turn around and really bond with one groomer, nobody else. They'll never be handled, you know. But if they stay with one for the rest of their life, and you guys do everything in the same order every single time, he'll get to embrace the process and he'll never like it. But just like Edgar, the dog that I showed the video of with the nails, I couldn't do anything on him. Now I can do everything except for his nails with stress. The nails are stressed, but the rest of the groom is pretty easy for Edgar now. Right. I always have him cross-tied so he could never accidentally make a mistake. And that is because I want him to be successful. I don't want him to react and wreck everything. So I make it so that he never has the opportunity to. And I bet you've got Milton. I bet you've got him.
Well, I think I'm getting him. And in my pocket, I had one of these dried chicken tenders, chew treats.
Yep.
And I used that. Yvonne took that in her hand and let him chew on that. And that was the only way I could get around his eyes.
Excellent.
Because, I mean, and we tried for 15 minutes to get around on the underneath of his eyes and shape his eyebrows. And he was just snapping and snarling. And I put a muzzle on him. But it's hard for me to cross tie and then be directly in front of the dog to do the face. That's just a technical difficulty that I have, but we use the chew thing. And although Yvonne got chomped as he chomped on the chew, I mean, it wasn't, I don't think he really knew that he was biting her and not the thing, but he just did. He snapped at me a couple of times, but it wasn't with the same intention. It wasn't with the same intention to harm. It was more a stop that snap.
It's reactive. Know? That's why set them up for success by making it so that they can't get you when you're doing that. The head thing, sometimes I'll do it in the bathtub when the dog is wet.
Yeah.
Because then I can grab and they don't think I'm doing what I was going to do. That was my breakthrough with Edgar, was I did it in the bathtub. And then all of a sudden he realized that wasn't such a bad deal to get that stuff out of there. And he started to relax. That was our first, very first thing we could do together without stress was that. Yeah. And of course, clipping the hair on his back end while he was all tied up on the front end. I can do that on anybody.
We did a nice rear end to Milton, and I watched him walk out the door, and he looked pretty good. They were happy. You know, he looked more schnauzery than ever, and I got rid of a lot of the hair that was problematic. You know?
Excellent. Neat. So, I love transformation. That's truly a transformation.
Yeah. So cool. and it was just there's just a lot of satisfaction of having other people not be able to do him, you know. And
welcome to my world. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I knew you would like this story.
That's a good story. And another good story is the scissor sale that's going on. I want to make sure everybody knows how to get to that, because we're having a good time over there getting rid of Barbara's stuff.
this is new scissors that have just been sitting around in my inventory for longer than I want to admit. And I'm just letting go of the scissor sale. So I'm doing it all in one last kind of closeout sale. I found others. And then I'm going to do some of my ones that I've used, because I've probably got 30 scissors.
Nice. I know people would really appreciate that.
Yeah. And I just don't need all of those scissors. Yesterday we're doing some shop cleaning, and I found another whole roll, leather roll of shears of mine, you know.
I bet there's a bunch in there.
Yeah.
There.
And, you know, I have a few more new items. Is there a way that, can we add to that sale?
We sure can.
I can take a picture.
Take the picture with your cell phone and you can choose to send it to me or just put it up on the list.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. And just keep track of what it is somehow in some order. Yeah.
These are some really nice Talon shears, some Arius Eichert, and some kind of mystery models. But they're all good stuff.
Excellent. And, I like that idea. We'll keep the scissor sale rolling.
Yeah.
So if you're a new groomer, you can go over there and pick up some real bargains. If you're just looking for something specific, there's some unique shears over there. If you asked a question, Barbara will answer it, and you got to pay the shipping. No international sales, though, because that's just too complicated for this. But check it out. It's at the Groom Pod Scissor Sale on Facebook groups. I had a house yesterday where an ongoing client that I've had since 1998, whose mom just got a new Bichon puppy.
Uh-oh.
I know. Well, tell me about it. Because quite frankly, nothing scares me worse than a puppy's first big girl haircut. Because there's a whole lot of hair that's going down to less hair. But in reality, the owners would like a little off. And I don't have that talent. You know, I am not confident with my ability to scissor long hair.
Use a yellow comb.
It was too, we're talking long hair. We're talking probably 6 month puppy. And the owner has brushed diligently. Not a tangle in that beautiful 5-inch coat. And she wants it shortened a little bit. But I, of course, know the Bichon tricks you've taught me. So I took the back and the front short, right? Took in my combs and sculpted all that out to make it look pretty. But of course, my panic as I'm doing, you know, and I decide what to do with the body. I'm going to shorten up the jacket a little bit without any clipper vac. I'm just going to take it and skim off ever so carefully and let go of the fact that there will be places that have longer hair and shorter hair. I got to accept that. So I skimmed off a nice jacket with the dog, and then came the dreaded front legs. The front legs was so much perfectly combed, fluffy puppy hair. And, you know, you comb it up and it goes, just flops back down.
Yeah, that's what I use, a spray.
Yeah, okay. And well, what I did is I took my longest comb, that light blue comb, and I skimmed off the outside of the legs, kind of sculpted down the outside of the legs, and everything but the knee and from the hock down in the back. So I just left all of that, and I just kind of tidied it up. And then I did a fairly deep, well, there were no mats, so I just kind of fluffed up her head, took a little spray into the head, and then did a nice little Bichon ledge on her.
Good.
It was adorable. And I put the dog down on the ground and I thought, who groomed that dog? Because that certainly wasn't me. I surprised even myself.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And I did the dog with the autoimmune disease, and they like him really fluffy in the winter, but she's like, I want a little bit off. And of course she brushes. So the dog has no mats, and what can I say? So I did kind of a similar thing because I had had so much success. I skimmed off the body, letting go the fact that it's not perfectly the same on heat, that there may be areas that when the dog runs, a hair sticks out. I got to let it go because I see it, but other people don't. And then I did the back of the back legs, the chest and underneath the chin and all of that nice and tight. And then just shaped up the front legs. I mean, I didn't even really take any length off because she brushes, and I thought I'd just cheat. I got a text like 20 minutes later because she had been on a conference call of how spectacular the dog looks. So I'm trying to embrace less is more.
Less is more.
The dogs are clean. They're not going to be tangled next time because they weren't tangled this time. You know, if they can manage that much hair, it will be managed next time. It's been managed the time before. This time they've set the precedent that they can manage the hair. I'm going to embrace this idea. Eventually it's going to get out of control on me, isn't it, though? Those front legs are going to get really long and I'm going to have to do something.
Yeah, you're going to have to trim them a little bit, you know, but you're getting there. That's the important thing. You're starting to see what you want, and that's critical to then being able to achieve that. It's just a matter of having confidence in your ability to scissor a little bit, you know?
Yes. My feet looked beautiful because there was so much hair to work with.
Right.
Who knew? If I just leave a little more hair up there.
Hello.
Yeah, I know. But I can't do that for everybody because not everybody will hand me a 6 or 5 month old puppy without a tangle in it. I mean, not a tangle in it.
Oh, what good people.
Yeah, she's lovely. She's a little wacky, but she was a poodle person before. This is her first Bichon, but her son loves the Bichon. So it's going to work out. Plus, I get to groom the dog, and she was delightful. And she came from Sherry Kennedy, one of our local show people's referral, because Sherry didn't have any dogs. Beautiful underneath there. Beautiful structure. I know the coat is going to be spectacular. This is going to be a great dog for me to tweak my skills on.
Good. I'm glad you're excited about it. It's an opportunity to grow and evolve in your grooming, and nothing keeps you from burning out more than these opportunities to grow and evolve in your grooming.
You're right.
You know, you just take it on as a, you know, a goal.
Yeah, another thing, yes. So because we talk about it, I think I am even more focused on improving so that we have something to discuss every week. Plus, having a shear manufacturer be our sponsor.
Yes.
also helps me a little bit with my scissoring. So with all of these things in combine, I'm getting to be a better groomer. And, you know, who'd have thought that? Because like I said, I put that puppy down and I went, who did that dog? That's really not awful. Like, that's not awful.
Congratulations. I'm excited for you.
Yes. And it's all because of your tutelage. And, oh, you know what? You know what product was really helpful in, because it did get a lot of static for some reason. Yeah. We have sunshine, by the way, right now. I don't know if you can see it over my shoulder. I use that Stazco spray, but I put it into one of the mystifier bottles. I don't know. What do you call those?
Flarasol.
The Flarasol bottles. I put it in a Flarasol bottle and I just lightly misted this puppy's light hair, and it just, it made it so it wasn't sticking to my scissors and the places that I had to scissor it. It was really beneficial. So I thought I'd mention that if you guys didn't notice that we've got John Stazco on as a sponsor as well. And his products are really neat, but I especially like that conditioning spray that he has.
We like it all, and we are very impressed with the Stazco products and the results that we get. And they pass the bather test with flying colors. You know, I mean, she's asking for more of the Stazco products. You know, I'm running out of this. Can we have some more? And so that's one of the first things that we've tested. We had that result with the Glacial Rain shampoo too, which is, I think, just a wonderful deep cleaning, clarifying shampoo. But the Stazco spray is cool. I also have it in the Flarasol bottle, but I think I diluted it somewhat to use as a mist.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you can, you know, because you can dilute it, because most of those scissoring sprays are pretty highly diluted.
Yeah, and then just keep it in separate bottles. If you need something more heavy duty, then use it in the one bottle and then a lighter duty in the other.
Yeah, distilled water. And you know what? The Flarasol bottle, I was thinking of this in relation to that question that was asked on the discussion group about whether coat spray in a bottle would become contaminated like shampoo. And I have to say that the Flarasol bottles are the best because they create a vacuum. So the little bag inside shrinks as you use up the product. So there's not a lot of air, because air plus water is another thing that kind of encourages bacterial proliferation. You know, so that's why, you know, some of the pump things are good. And that's why the Flarasol bottle with that kind of vacuum package inside is really excellent for keeping it uncontaminated and giving you a long-lasting safe spray when diluted with distilled water.
Nice pro tip, Barbara. I like that. That is a good one. Well, let's take a quick break here from Best Shot, and then we're going to talk a little really boring business stuff.
I'm glad it's your topic. Well, of course it would be your topic, because I would never choose business management being my weaker area.
I know it, but this is a way that I get to contribute, you know, with some authority and experience from my past.
Well,
and
I can't wait to hear it.
I'll try not to put you to sleep. All right, here comes Best Shot. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Proline, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection. Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Well, this is in response to a request from Facebook because I was in another group. There's some really cool groups that are forming out there. There's a baby boomers and over 50s group that's really fun. I'm liking that group. But there's some other neat groups as well, like a groom alone group. Somebody had asked a question about whether to be a sole proprietor or an LLC or an S-Corp. And so it was a very timely question because I have just filed all the paperwork to become an LLC. I happen to have been looking at the subject and somebody saw that I had posted that I was a sole corp or that I had just converted to an LLC, and she asked for me to talk about it. So that's how the subject came out. Not something I probably would have gravitated to either, but it is something I'm kind of good at. I did take a lot of business classes in college, so I've got that background. My dad was really good in business. I worked in an import corporation for years. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to be a sole proprietor or an LLC. The terms themselves are basically, here we go, boring tax classifications. They're how you structure your business that affects the way you pay your taxes and the way you pay yourself, and also how your companies are seen in the law. We're going to start with the sole proprietorship. And I became a sole proprietor because I was unexpectedly released from my vet grooming job. You might remember, if you haven't heard the story, the vet's wife fired me one day. And I had a full appointment schedule booked out for the year and nowhere to groom. So I needed to do something fast. And if you have to do something fast, a sole proprietorship and or a partnership, although that's another subject, is the least complicated way to structure your business and to file your taxes. I'll talk briefly about partnerships. I'm not a fan. I have two partnerships in my life right now. One of them is my marriage, and the other one is to Barbara. Those are my two partnerships. And even with Barbara, and actually, quite frankly, with my marriage, I'm kind of happier if I make sure that I control everything so that I feel like everybody's getting their fair share. But I've never found another really good partner in my whole life that I would say divide a business up with. Not a fan of a partnership part of that, but they're treated kind of the same in the eyes of the law. A partnership just has two responsible people and or whatever, however many partners you have. And then a sole proprietorship, you're the responsible person. The deal is it puts all of your current and future assets at risk because you and your business are one in the eyes of the government as far as taxes, as far as profits, and as far as losses and liabilities too. There's no difference legally. Your business is you. So I'm set up right now so that Susie the groomer is me and I'm Susie the groomer. And if something happens to Susie the groomer and it's big and major and takes me down, all of Susie Scott's stuff is going to be gone. It's all vulnerable the way I've got my business set up right now. Well, the way I had it set up last week. This week, it's not set up that way. So you do get all the profits, but you also get all the loss and all of the liability involved. But it's really easy to fill out that paperwork. It's just basically your social security number is responsible for your business. One in the same. So it was simple. I could do it really quickly. Basically, I filled out a tax form and I filled out a form on the Washington State thing and I was instantly in business. There you go. Bingo. No complications involved. You are allowed to have employees as a sole proprietor. So you can hire a bather or you could hire another groomer or you could even have an independent contractor as a sole proprietor. But then you're responsible for their stuff too. So keep that in mind. You and your business are one entity in the eyes of the government, in the eyes of the tax structure, and in the eyes of the law. the safer way to go and what I should have done in the beginning and what I recommend that everybody does, I should have gone with a limited liability company. Now, in my discovery, I thought it was a limited liability corporation, but it's not. It's a limited liability company. What it is a hybrid legal entity. So it combines the best of both worlds of being a sole proprietor or a partnership and the protection of a corporation. It is not a corporation, but it is in fact a legal entity all by itself. That makes Susie different from Susie the Groomer LLC. So if something happens to Susie the Groomer LLC, I don't lose my house or my properties or my, you know, any of my stuff. I get to keep my stuff, especially my cars. I don't lose the cars. So I get to keep my stuff and the business goes down. That's the difference. So it gives you liability protection, but in the big picture, it is still not a corporation, but it's a company and it has some different rules than a corporation does. And this is where stuff gets really boring. You have articles of organization, not an incorporation. You're governed by an operating agreement, not by bylaws, but you do have to file an annual report every year. It can be a really simple annual report. It is advised to get an EIN number, which is a business number identifier from the government. I've lost Barbara. She's playing with her phone. She's checking out. This is so funny. I will not make this long. I understand it's the boring stuff. This is horrible.
No, it's also stuff. It's also enormously confrontational for me. Oh.
All right. Well, I don't have a lot on it, so we'll move on to much more exciting topics here pretty quickly. But so you do have some like paperwork you've got to go through. But it provides a lot of flexibility. It provides the flexibility that you get when you're a sole proprietorship. All this stuff is really important if you ever want to be a groomer by yourself and you want to protect the stuff you have going into the future. Because guess what? We live in a creepy society where people sue other people. Right, Barbara?
Right. Don't I know that?
So we want to make sure that we learn from what happened to Barbara and we protect our shit. I mean, our stuff. I swear. Oh, well, I have to keep this lively somehow.
Good job. Good job.
2 weeks in a row.
Been an influence on you.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. So as far as the differences, you have to do the annual report and there may even be some legal fees and annual renewals of stuff that relates to your state. And the cool thing is there is a website out there that will walk you through it step by step, and that's LegalZoom.com, and they are not a sponsor of ours. However, they could be. They are very helpful. This is my third business. I guess I've opened, started, reorganized. In this case, it's a reorganization. And I just went on to LegalZoom and I logged in. It still remembered me from the Groomers Association so many years ago. And all of that stuff popped up. My information was still in there, which is pretty cool. And I plugged in, I'm looking to convert my sole proprietor to an LLC. And it literally gave me every possible option step by step on a click and continue kind of a guided basis to make the decisions that I needed to. It also even offers additional plans that will guide you through the next few years with your annual reports and what needs to be filed when and all of the reminders. Those were a little pricey, so I didn't opt for that, but I'm good at that stuff. I'm on top of that stuff, so I didn't think I needed to pay an extra couple hundred bucks to have them remind me to give me a form and then to send in my stuff. I can do all that stuff myself. But if you're not good with that, LegalZoom will set it up so that you've got accountants you can call for help. So you've got legal advice, you know, from lawyers that you could access. You have reminders that show up. You have an annual report form that gets sent out. The annual report is very simple. You don't have to do a big deal. There's not a lot of cons to having an LLC. I couldn't find really any except for the additional paperwork. So I'd say if you're starting out, start out with an LLC, save yourself the time. But if you want to do a conversion, or if you're starting out, want to know what's going on, LegalZoom has a really big library of FAQs and stuff like that. And I did a lot of research on that. Plus, I also Googled a lot of stuff. So that's how I figured this stuff out. Did you have a lovely question?
No.
Oh, darn.
I don't even have a ugly question.
One other thing, LegalZoom has a payment plan. So if you choose to use their biggest and best, most helpful guided service, but you don't really have the money, the cash flow immediately to pay for it, they'll set you up on a monthly payment plan so that you can get their assistance and not screw your business up, especially in that first year. And LegalZoom is a great company because I've used it to set up my personal business, now to convert my business, to set up the Groomers Association. And they have just been a great resource. Even if you don't use them for the forums, use their resources. All right. On to professional pet products. There's a tongue twister. And then back to school. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Veterinary vocabulary time. Autoimmune. Autoimmune is a term we hear a lot, but do you know what it means?
Well, my sense of what it means is it is a condition wherein the immune system turns against itself.
That's exactly it. And they always use autoimmune in reference to how it does that. I don't think there's any other definition of it. It's the body turning against itself. It's all of the systems that are supposed to go in and fight bad stuff like infections and tumors and weirdness and heal you, turn and think, well, gee, that organ looks horrible. I'm going to attack it, especially the skin. You know, if the skin looks awful, let's just attack the skin. And then it goes after the skin. And the problem is it's really hard to fix an autoimmune disease because it's so systemic. And we see it in dogs. We see it. Barbara thinks maybe vaccines might be part of that cause.
I'm pretty much convinced that over-vaccination, over-stimulating the immune system by repeated unnecessary vaccinations causes a kind of a hyperactive immune system, which then turns against itself.
Yep.
Developing autoimmune disorders, yeah. Allergies, bad allergies. Some of these dogs with just like untreatable skin problems. It's one of the things that can happen. from over vaccination, and I just think that it will become recognized in due time. We're getting there.
Yeah, I think that we over vaccinate, and I think that this stuff was maybe always present, though, and that now we're more aware of it, and we have doctors that focus on it. I don't know about before vaccines were so prominent. I don't know what dogs and skin reactions were like back then, if they were nearly as prevalent as they are now, but I would suspect not. Just a hunch, though, that, you know, I'm open to either way. I don't really, I'm not as convicted on that as you are, but I certainly think we're over vaccinating. That I am convicted on. Grooming glossary. What's the utility of a dog?
The utility of a dog. What is it good for?
What was it bred for? What was its purpose? Why did they make it short-legged and tough and have a short tail that you can grab? Because it's going to go into a hole, grab something, and you got to pull it back out. Purpose, utility. That's what it is. And it affects the way we groom the dogs, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't want to have a dog with exposed ears that's going to run through the brush. It wouldn't be good. So they have dogs that have dropped ears that the flaps cover so they can run through and not get all beat up from the environment. All kinds of things like that. Silly. And then there's, of course, you know, we breed some of that stuff in. But yeah, utility is the purpose the dog was bred for. All right. Now, Barbara, I'm passing the mic to you. Here you go. Sliding it over.
All right. Well, I want to take some time to answer a question that we got on the Groom Pod list following last week's discussion. So here is my question. Kenny Pinkston, one of my Facebook buddies, writes that we mentioned that the canine acid mantle is not acidic enough to fight off bacteria. And also that we mentioned there were 7 products that were acid-based to help fight off bacteria on their skin. And he says, I hope I understood this correctly. Well, he did not understand this correctly. So let me just kind of clarify here. So first, about the acid mantle. Dogs have a more alkaline pH on their skin. Alkaline pH supports bacteria growth, whereas an acid pH discourages bacterial growth. Okay, so that some veterinarians are hypothesizing that the naturally more alkaline skin pH of the dog, of the canine, is related to the much greater incidence of skin problems in the dog. Okay.
Okay.
So that kind of makes sense. So that's what that was. Now, the 7 products was really a study that I cited where they used, it was actually six things, but they used 4 acidic sprays and vinegar and just water. And they measured what happened there and the skin problems. And I did not learn what the 4 products were, because from the material that was available to me without paying to buy the whole article, I did buy the thing. It cost me $10 and I still didn't learn what the products were. So, you know, so there. But we do know one of the things that we recommend, or that I recommend to help acidify the skin, is Resultrance.
Yes, Resultrance. I was talking about it yesterday with Sharon.
Yeah, Resultrance. So this came up as a more conversation related to the bath tablets.
Boy, they're going to hate us. Those people.
No, they're not going to hate us, because I've got more information about that. I want to say this about that.
Okay.
When I look into subjects and products or whatever, ingredients, and I search online and I then make a statement about what I think is going on, I'm always ready to change that or grow and learn more. I have not been able to let this bath tablet subject go. I have not been able to shut the door on it. I have, because it's just interesting. It's very trending right now. And I want to get to what I could call the truth.
Right.
When you're dealing with alternative therapies and holistic methods, it's very hard to actually nail down what is the truth, because the truth is often mixed with practice, folkloric practice, and beliefs.
Right.
And so it's very hard to find some science-based truths to support this. What I've found is that the assumption that carbonated water baths are therapeutic comes from the whole topic of balneotherapy.
Oh, that's what that word is.
So what is balneotherapy? It is bath therapy. Sometimes you find it as baneotherapy. Ball comes from the Greek word for bath. Bane is the French word for bath. Okay. So it's all bath therapy. Now, there's a lot of different kinds of bath therapies, of which carbon dioxide baths are just one type. But let me just kind of give you a rundown. Here's the types of balneotherapy: simple thermal springs, common salt springs, sodium bicarbonated spring, sulfate spring, radioactive spring, I hope not.
God, no kidding.
Acid spring, sulfur spring, carbon dioxide spring, iron spring, alum spring, and sulfate iron spring, bicarbonate alkaline spring. Whoa.
Are those all naturally occurring stuff?
Those are all naturally occurring types of springs in the earth that are incorporated in the general concept of balneotherapy or bath therapy. Okay, so generally the therapy involves extended periods of soaking in the spring over a period of time.
So repeated exposures?
Repeated exposures, and usually exposures of at least 15 minutes, you know.
Right, enough time to soak in.
Enough time to soak in, yeah. So the beneficial influence of these bath therapies has been noted and documented. So when they say documented, they say that, you know, it's been written about.
Or so, could it even have been talked about? I mean,
about and studied. There's a lot of studies, especially a lot of studies on Dead Sea balneotherapy. The beneficial influence of Dead Sea and the clinical benefits of its mineral salts. So this is a mineral salt bath. In different illnesses were first documented by the ancient historian Josephus Flavius about 2,000 years ago. Okay, so this
wow.
is a historic therapy module. It really goes back. In recent years, scientific studies have confirmed a clinical evidence base for the lasting improvement of dermatological and rheumatological conditions following balneotherapy and topical treatments with Dead Sea salts. So that kind of shakes up my system a little bit. However, Wikipedia says, quote, Most of the studies on bonneotherapy have methodological flaws and are not reliable. A 2009 review of all published clinical evidence concluded that existing research is not sufficiently strong to draw firm conclusions about the efficacy of bonneotherapy.
The jury is still out.
So the jury is still out, but so there's no doubt that some response occurs, some helpfulness occurs to people who are utilizing these bonneotherapies, but it cannot be pinpointed. It hasn't truly been proven. Just the fact of just the stress reduction of being in a spa situation, it's going to have an influence, right?
Right, of course. And whatever minerals will have a topical influence, and whatever thing has been planted in your brain is going to have an influence too.
Yeah, but it says the mechanisms by which broad spectrum of diseases respond to spa therapy probably incorporate chemical, thermal, and mechanical effects. I found that statement over and over again. Different people keep saying that.
It's now, like, I contend that if you get the person in to do the dog bath every 3 days, the skin's going to get better no matter what you're using, as long as you're not using something counterintuitive.
Right. Well, I think that's a possibility, that anything following a frequent protocol is going to have more of an effect than once a month or once every 3 months.
And compliance at home, people's compliance. For instance, in dermatological situations where they get sent home with a shampoo that they're supposed to use, say, twice a week, the chances of them using it correctly twice a week to actually see a benefit from the medication, not just a spa treatment, is very slight. But if they bring the dog to us twice a week and we do it correctly and they have a commitment to bring the dog in so they don't miss the appointment, the dog's skin gets better. Is it because of the medication? It's because of the way the medication is being applied. It's because of the medication. It's because of all of it. It's a big accumulative thing.
Okay, so now I want to get back to pet bath bombs.
Okay.
Because last week we made a comparison of the pet grooming tabs and the Warren London fizz balls.
Right.
Then subsequently, I came to realize that there are two distinct entities of therapeutic bath bombs.
All right.
The pet grooming tabs are different slightly than the Nagayu. It's two different things, Susie.
Well, I wondered about that.
Yes, and I wondered about that, and it just took me a while. I apologize to get clear on
that. To sort it out in your noggin.
Yeah, and part of the reason that it was hard to sort through is that the person who is behind the pet grooming tabs is the inventor of the spray nozzle tablet application, right?
Okay, so he's the guy who figured out if you put a well in the nozzle, you can stick a tablet in there and the water goes over it.
Oh, and there's I found the patent.
Okay.
Okay, so I found the patent to that. So he's with the pet grooming tabs, but Nagayu company has the same technology. And here's what the Nagayu let me just say what the Nagayu tablets contain, because it's almost exactly the same thing. Sodium bicarbonate, sodium carbonate, citric acid, that's basic bath bomb stuff, right? PEG 150, PEG 150, and lactose as lactic acid. Now, the difference between the pet grooming tabs and the Nagayu tabs, basically, is that the pet grooming tabs have a surfactant that will cleanse, and the Nagayu tabs have a moisturizer the lactic acid that will moisturize. So that's a basic difference. They're both using the spray type that was invented by the Japanese man, Mr. Kobayashi.
Oh, Mr. Kobayashi.
Mr. Kobayashi, he's got the patent.
For the nozzle.
He's also patented the tablet. In a sense, from this patent application that I'm reading now, the carbonated bath tablet to be accommodated is such that, oh man, I can't read this to you. You'll freak out. It's too technical. These patent things are mind blowers. But it's the same, you know, like he's the man behind the patent of the device that uses the carbonated bath tablet. And I think the carbonated bath tablet itself is less significant. The company that has the patent on the spray head and the tablet is Hot Album, like record album.
Yeah.
What a funny name for this company. Hot Album Tansenden Tablet Inc. Shigeharu Kobayashi, inventor and CEO. The other company is not on the
patent.
Yeah, right. Thank you. More knowledge to be obtained. But I wanted to confess that I used the ingredients of the pet grooming tabs and may have called them Nagayu.
Okay. Difference being one has a surfactant, the other one has a conditioner.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the pet grooming tabs can be used instead of a bath. The Nagayu tabs need to be used after the bath. The Nagayu statement of how it works: Nagayu tablet generates millions of carbonic acid and hydrogen ions and transforms the water into a CO2 spa. While showering with CO2 spa, these CO2 enter the blood vessels and cause it to expand and increase the blood flow. The cells receive more nutrients and oxygen, results boosting metabolism and speeds up the healing process. Yeah, well, we'll see. Now, what I cannot find is I cannot find any science to support that the carbonic acid or bicarbonate ions penetrate the skin. But it's an assumption that's made on a lot of the articles and patents that I have looked at. I'm continuing to chase that science, how the pet grooming tabs work. So this is what the other company says, right? Bicarbonate is present in all body fluids and organs in both humans and animals. It plays a major role in the acid-base balances within the body.
Within
the body. Unfortunately, bicarbonate deficiencies occur when we don't exercise regularly or when the vascular system begins to deteriorate as less oxygen is, there seems to be something missing. Bicarbonate ions and carbon dioxide within the body are excreted as byproducts. This process helps in the maintenance of the pH of the blood as well as homeostasis of the body. So that's a little more realistic, but it still is assuming that you're going to get the same results. First of all, that you can imitate a spa, that you can imitate a natural spring. But the holistic assumption being that everything is important in that spring, how can you just take one element of that spring, the CO2, and duplicate the healing ability of the entire spring? It's unholistic. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, because it's not including all of the different potential influences.
One of the things that the hot water itself causes the skin to get red, right?
And it opens up the blood vessels because that's what heat therapy does.
Part of the effect that they're talking about, this increases blood circulation, that's just hot water will do that.
Right. Take a bath when you're sore.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, this is all interesting, and I'm sure I'm confusing people more. Well, I hope I'm not confusing people more than I'm clarifying. But now we know that there are two distinct companies offering pet grooming tabs. One's called Pet Grooming Tablets, and the other's called Nagayu. Okay.
Yes. And they're slightly different, but the principles work the same.
But they're both operating on the bath bomb principle, that citric acid and the carbonate and bicarbonate are going to react to make bubbles. And the shower head, a lot of what I read on the absolutely hard to read patent application is about the rate of dissolving makes a difference in what the shower head does. It has a valve system that slows down the hot water on the tablet so that it will dissolve continuously through an extended shower period.
That makes sense.
So when I took the pet grooming tab and put it in a bowl of hot water, it dissolved immediately.
Oh, it just fell apart?
Yeah, it just fizzed until it was done. It just took a couple of minutes. And, you know, so the system with the little spray thing, it's designed to kind of slow down the dissolution of the tablet.
How long do they expect the bath to last?
I think 6 to 8 minutes.
Okay.
But you know, that's still not nearly as long as people soak in a spring.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not going to go over to Nagayu, Japan, jump in the spring, 5 minutes, get out, and I'm done.
Right. You're going to do it for like 20 minutes, and then you're going to do it again the next day for 20 minutes, and then you're going to go do it again the next day for 20 minutes.
Yeah, and not only that, when it's an actual, in some therapeutic settings, you do the soak, and then they do a clean water rinse, and then they do a lay down or recline for 20 minutes recovery period. But they do say that they have documented long-lasting improvement from a procedure of daily carbonated spring baths or daily dead sea salt.
Or Epsom salts.
Or Epsom salts. Yeah, that's what I would put in my bath tab. And yeah. I might just do that.
Ooh,
I'm interested. I confess that I bought stuff to make bath bombs so that I could kind of play around.
So I'm curious, because did you get the Nagayu tablets or the grooming tablets?
I got the grooming tablets.
Okay.
And in my pH study, my water tested as 6 and my with the tablet, it was 7.
That's not that great a distance at the middle, is it?
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't know. The pH is not the major issue.
Okay.
But the pH is something of an issue for the hair, because we know that the hair cuticle does not close tightly in the presence of an alkaline pH.
Right, it likes the acid.
It really does like the acid. And the other thing is these systems, both of them, preclude conditioning. And conditioning is one of the more important things that we do to hair coat. That when we don't condition it, damage doesn't, you know, when we condition it, hair damage is temporarily helped. If we never condition, we're just going to have a porous open hair cuticle that's going to be more easily damaged. There's no protection on there, not even temporary protection. Yeah, so I can go on and on about that. But I want people to know that I'm always open to continue learning. And sometimes I can't stop digging into something. And I think this is important enough because this system is becoming very popular, that we need to know what we're gaining and what we're losing with such a technology, right?
Right. And to peel back the curtain just a little bit on the way the Groom Pod works, we come up with these things that we want to research or something that we pulled off of Facebook. And then Barbara and I both dig into our parts and pieces. And through this, like Barbara said earlier, it keeps us from burning out, but it is a process. It's a process. So when Barbara started to dig into this stuff, she only knew a teeny tiny bit of what she knows now. And sometimes the more you know, the more there is to know. And I think in this case, that's what's happening here. Is there's just so much to know, so much lore, and so many groomer stories and lack of science, but so much influence on the grooming industry right now that it's just got her interested. And we are the beneficiaries of that interest.
And some of the articles that I wanted to look at that looked like they might identify how stuff works, how balneotherapy works, were in Japanese.
Oh, well, that's no good.
See, the Japanese have been particularly obsessive about learning this because they have a lot of CO2 springs in Japan.
Yeah, they're big on the community soaking as well. They like that. They all get into the community tub and hang out and soak and repair their psyche.
So what's happening is that the cultural basis of that is kind of breaking down in Japan. And they're trying, what these people are trying to do is come up with ways to get those results at home in Japan.
I get it.
You know?
Yeah, so, they don't want to go hang out in the tub together anymore.
Well, yeah.
Well, I don't know if you've been paying attention, Miss Barbara Bird, but Chris, our very own Groom Pod personal salesperson for Evolution Shears, has been helping us all out by putting videos up like crazy. So you got two going up on the Groom Pod discussion group now. Did you see them?
I noticed them. Let's just say
that. She's getting to be quite a pro at the video thing.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad for that because that's what's needed. Yeah, you need to see it to believe it. You know, and I worked this week at curling my fingers around the shears and gripping the, and you know what? I found that I can even do that a little bit with my regular shears and keep my wrist. If I change how I do with my fingers, I can keep my wrist from breaking forward or backward.
Oh, this is perfect discussion for our next topic, too. Well, that's cool. I'm glad that you're getting kind of a better hangout. How's the pain level going?
Well, I have had less thumb pain, but I have some strange trigger point stuff happening in my forearm along where those tendons come up to connect with the elbow. I even have a little bit of swelling happening right here. It's just, I don't know, it might be because I got scratched by dogs that broke the skin, but I think The jury is, I definitely have a painful trigger point thing happening to work on up on my forearm.
And that's a spot that is notorious for wrestling. So yeah. Here's my question to you. Could that have been Milton?
No, this has been before. This okay. has been all, yeah, no, this has just been kind of noticed in the last few days.
All right.
There's always some struggling. I'm sorry. I do have.
It's called grooming, but it is a struggle.
But I've had less, and I've been using a balm that my New Zealand friends gave me when I was in, and I just kind of rediscovered it sitting around. I said, let's use some of that. I've been using that, and I think that my little nodule thing on the base of my thumb is diminishing.
Could you do something with mine?
Oh my God, girl!
I just showed Barbara my thumb.
Oh man, it's scary.
I know it. Well, if you guys are interested in checking out some Evolution Shears yourself, make sure you go to the website and look at Chris's really cool videos, but you can also find a lot of stuff at evolutionshears.com, and their phone number is 877-560-3057. Remember to ask for Chris and tell her the Groom Pod sent you.
And people, we had, what about the 26-year-old groomer that's having all those physical problems already?
Okay.
You know, like, so people having hand problems, it doesn't matter if you're 25 or 65, you might want to look at the swivel thumb scissors as a way to minimize the harm to your thumb.
Nice segue, Barbara. We're just going to take a break here, and then we're going to talk about Casey's problems.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Really good, really good. Okay.
Oh, God, we're so intuitive.
I know.
If you're enjoying the Groom Pod and all the good things that happen here, and you want to help us continue to grow, consider doing your shopping at Amazon through our Amazon banner on the website. It won't cost you anything more, and the Groom Pod will get a percentage of your sale. This is by far the best way to help us pay for the show. Just go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Amazon ad. Then do your shopping as usual. We really appreciate each and every one of you guys who's been shopping at the Groom Pod's website. Thank you very much. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table.
Speaking of Casey's problems, Casey was one of our new members on the discussion group, and she typed in a lovely message. It's a little bit long, but I'm going to read it. Here's a groomer health question. I'm 27 and have chronic autoimmune issues. I get around joint pain and muscle fatigue and weakness, even the hand shaking, and it's often using techniques that may not be correct, barber techniques, etc. But get the desired effect. Sometimes I get discouraged when other groomers question me or how safe I am. I know I'll probably never do show dogs, which I'm so fine with. But is there a good way to explain to employers and other groomers and clients and myself that I can still get a great groom even with unconventional techniques? Are there more exercises or holds that are good for hand and arm weakness? And what I want to say is I don't know how recently you have checked out the Facebook feed, but there are 35 comments, 35 Groom Pod members who have stepped up to the plate to help her out. I think that is so cool.
That is cool. I love our relationship of our Facebook page and our podcast. I think that's something I'm very proud of. Well, you know, it's just so sad to learn of young people already suffering from a lot of these problems. There are a lot of, just let me skip to this. There are a lot of hand and arm exercises online. You know, like it really doesn't even make sense for us to try to suggest things because you can just go and find them. Really, just Google hand exercises and you'll find things, you know. And there's two sides of it, strengthening your hands and just like not wearing down your hands. You know, who knows what the years of playing hand drums might have done to my overall hand situation, because there's just a lot of handwork involved in banging on the drums. And I don't know if that's related to, but I think that it's probably what I'm experiencing is just wear and tear with age and use. And the music might come into it or not, you know, but the truth is you need to plan for the future. You know, when you start grooming, you need to learn to do things in a way that's ergonomic and conducive to long-term survival, you know?
Right. But sometimes, like if you've got a tremor or if you can't hold a dog a certain way because your thumb looks like mine does or something like that, then when other people are observing your grooming, they might look at you with a critical eye. How does she deal with that when doing a job interview or something? Say she does have a little bit of shake in her hand. How do you deal with that?
Well, for one thing, I would definitely have a portfolio of some pictures of my grooming, because the pictures of your grooming are going to speak to your result. And I don't know exactly what techniques she's talking about, barbering techniques of some sort. So I don't know exactly which barbering techniques.
Right, maybe layering or feathering, or I mean, there's all kinds of different ones.
Yeah.
But that might not look like something would commonly do them as a groomer. But as long as they're not risking injury to the dog, I don't care how you get the results. If the dog is comfortable and they come out looking good, then if you break the wrist connection to your arm and it still comes out looking okay, well, then your grooming isn't in question. But like Barbara says, your long-term health in the grooming industry might be. Anything else we should throw in there?
No. There's a lot of responses there for her.
Yeah.
And I think it all makes sense.
Really great tips, sitting down and all kinds
sitting
of
things. Sitting down, yeah. Yeah, you know, yeah. Sitting down, you can rest your elbow on the table and kind of, you know, and here's one that wasn't mentioned. The person who taught me how to groom, who was a masterful artistic scissoring wizard, he would actually hold his scissoring hand with his other hand, steady his hand with his other hand when he was doing fine detailing.
Clever.
So that's something to think about. I'll add that.
Excellent. Well, I was just so pleased that so many people stepped up to the plate. We have such a cool group of followers, and we're going to let them go, Barbara. We're done for the day.
All right.
Okay, so you guys have a great week. Check out Barbara's scissor sale at the Groom Pod Scissor Sale. And yeah, happy grooming. Enjoy. See you next time on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Okay, folks, take care of yourselves. See you soon.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie@thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.